Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Pure Faith Podcast, the podcast where we discuss all things Bible. I am your host, Mitchell Heikamp, and with me, as always, is my co-host and sister, Michelle Waymire.
Hello.
Again, we're going to get some of our plugs in right away at the beginning. So if you haven't done so yet, please follow us on your favorite podcast app. And also leave your review, because that will help other people find us. And also, if you haven't done so, log on to, like, and follow our Facebook page. And I think that's all the plugs we have.
I think so.
Until we get to the end.
Okay.
So, which we have another update on this monster dance, which I sent the video to Michelle.
And it's short-lived. As soon as Zeke saw you recording, he shut it down.
Yeah.
He's like, nope, I'm done.
But it wasn't even a full monster dance, but you seen the position.
I did see how you thought it was a robot.
Had a little bit of
the arms hand, moving the, and the hands hand moving. Yes.
So I don't know if that's something we want to post to Facebook, like just edit out just so that little 10 seconds, because there's stuff before and after, but it's just him.
Yeah, there's Eli weird. Screaming, and I did see that. I heard it. No, but I saw it. So he had his little like laptop thing, and just out of, and I don't know why you were recording at this time.
Because he did it briefly before that. So then I was like, oh, I gotta hurry up, get my camera, get my phone out. And then he did it one more time. But after that, he was done.
Because he did. He got out his little play thing that he had, and I don't know if there was music playing, but he just. Music. You're standing in the back, and all of a sudden he stands up, and he shortly does it. And as soon as Paige says, oh, are you doing your monster dance? And he saw you recording, he was like, nope, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done. I was like, oh my gosh.
But I did get a little bit of it in there. So enough to give people the idea.
Well, at least you could have a picture of how his arms and his hands and...
Yeah.
Oh.
The dancing position.
Yes. He is. He's a character. Takes after his dad.
Well, I don't know about that.
I don't know, but I do still like the Uncle Matt lawnmower dance that looks like a violin also.
The upside down violin?
Yeah. We need to have more weddings, but I don't think we have any more that would be coming up soon.
I don't think so.
No. I think everybody's pretty much... There's a few of our cousins that are not married yet, but I don't
even know if they have any prospects.
I don't think so, but that's okay.
Owen would probably hate hearing this, but him and Olivia are probably the next two on the
list. I don't
list.
Know if Owen... Oh, so everyone, we had these weddings in December, two weddings in December, and I think there was one before that also, but I can't remember whose wedding. Dylan's wedding is where it started. So in October, our nephew Dylan got married, and of course, Olivia and Owen were at that wedding, and... You know, it was time to throw the bouquet, and, you know, Olivia's like, oh, I'm a single lady. I'm going out there, and she caught the bouquet. And then, did she? I think she did.
I don't know if she did or not.
You know? No, I think somebody beat her to it at that one. So then when we got to Noah, she was bound and determined to get that one, and she did. And then we went to Abby's wedding, and she went out there, too, and she was all about trying to get that bouquet. And Owen, at all three of them, sat in his chair. He was like, I'm good.
I think it was either at Noah's or at Abby's, but Daniel actually got it, which he's got a couple of them. And he was out there like trying to put it in Owen's hand, and Owen wouldn't take it.
That one was at Noah's, I think, because he did not get the one at Abby's. He got the one at Dylan's, and he got the one at Noah's. And at... Actually, I'm not sure which one it was, but yeah, you're right. At one of them, they were trying to, I think at Abby's, they were trying to get Owen to even go out there. And he was like, nope, I'm sitting right here. I'm not even going out there.
I didn't realize he didn't go out.
Oh, Olivia gets so excited, and he's just a super laid back guy. So yeah, they're fun, but potentially that could be a wedding in the next, I'm going to say 2 or 3 years. By that time,
who else there is that's...
No one close. I don't think so. No. I mean, we've got a couple that are young that are, you know, out doing their thing. So, I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see.
So, that's really about all we have to talk about as far as family stuff.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot going on with family stuff.
One thing that I did want to update everybody on, you know, you brought up the scarlet thread.
Yes.
Last week.
Yeah.
Or in our last episode. And it took me about 5 minutes of research before I started kicking myself in the butt. And it was pretty obvious once I started researching into it what this actually meant. But I did the research. And I say kick myself in my butt because it became blatantly obvious to me what this whole meaning of the scarlet thread was. But for some reason, whenever you asked me, like I said, I had a lot of stuff going on. I wasn't fully prepared.
And I think you were shocked that I actually had a question.
No, you have questions.
But it was a good question.
It was a good question.
Yeah.
And it was something that I noticed, but I never even looked into it. If I would have spent 5 minutes looking into it before, I would have had an answer for you. But I dropped the ball on that one. But doing this research, I did find some interesting connections. So this is talking about the scarlet cord before we get into the actual Bible study portion of this episode. And the most simple explanation for the scarlet thread is that scarlet represents the color of blood, which the most obvious one would be the blood of Jesus, how it cleanses all of our sins, but even all the blood from all the sacrifices that were spilt in order to worship God. So, you know, this scarlet color, this color of blood, has a lot of representation with sacrificing to the Lord and the blood of Jesus Christ who washes away our sins. So that's where the scarlet comes from.
Okay.
And then the thread is simply that. It's a line. So a lot of people say that there's a thread going throughout the entire Bible, starting in Genesis all the way to Revelation. There's a thread going through that entire Bible, and everything points to Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Which if some people may not have heard, you know, the Old Testament is Jesus' coming. The whole thread throughout the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus, that he's going to be coming.
Mm-hmm.
The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels are all Jesus is here. Those really focus on what Jesus does when he's here on this earth, a lot of his teachings, you know, everything about Jesus is here. And then once you get from Acts through Revelation, so the rest of the New Testament, it's Jesus is coming again.
Okay.
But that thread
is
throughout the entire Bible, that Jesus is coming, Jesus is here, Jesus is coming back. So the scarlet represents blood.
Mm-hmm.
Blood of Christ, blood of the sacrifices. And then the thread is basically pointing to Jesus. It's everything, the whole line to Jesus.
It's very interesting.
And so some of the connections I found with this that I didn't make myself, but I found in my research. Because the two places where we've seen it, the first one was Zara and Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Zara sticks his hand out first. The midwife puts a scarlet thread on his hand. His hand goes back in. Perez is born, and then Zara is born. So technically, Perez is the firstborn, even though Zara's hand came out first. Well, the connection I made with this, because this one isn't as obvious, because it's...
Yeah.
It was common practice for when there was twins that these midwives would put the scarlet thread on the wrist of the firstborn, so they would... No, it's kind
right,
of way
especially
more
if they're identical the twins and yeah. They, you know, and they.
It, and so they, that's how they would mark them, using the scarlet thread around the wrist. So that wasn't uncommon, but the whole symbol behind it and the connection I made is that, you know, this is a scarlet thread that this midwife put on Zara's wrist. It is something that she did herself, saying that this is the firstborn son, but he wasn't. He went back in. Perez came out. Perez was the firstborn son. So, in my eyes, this is a way of God saying that we shouldn't put him in a box. We shouldn't make these decisions for him.
Okay.
God is the one who is going to make things happen the way they happen. It was God's plan for Perez to be born first, not Zara's. So, even though this midwife put the scarlet thread on the wrist of Zara, he wasn't the one that was supposed to be born first.
Okay.
And so God made that happen, and Perez was born first. that's kind of the connection I got. So
it's very interesting.
Just like a little brief synopsis is that God is the one who is in charge. Mm-hmm. He's the one in control of everything. He's the one that dictates what happens and when it happens and where it happens.
And who it happens to.
And who it happens to, exactly. Yeah. So we shouldn't be the ones trying to make that decision for him. That is his decision and we just need to follow it.
Okay.
So we need to follow that thread that he lays before us. With the story of Rahab, how Rahab put this scarlet cord or scarlet thread in her window as a representation of, you know, hey, this is the house that the Israelites aren't supposed to destroy. This is her way of saying, this is our safety.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cool symbolism I've seen with that is if you look at the first Passover, what did those in the first Passover do? They sacrificed the lamb.
And they put the blood on their doors, right? They put the
blood on the doorpost.
Okay.
And so this red blood mm-hmm. was put on the doorpost to be a symbol to God and God's angels to pass over that household so they don't go in and kill the firstborn son in that family. And well, this is a symbolic representation of that same thing where she's putting the scarlet thread in the window, telling the Israelites to pass over that house so as they don't go in and destroy this family.
And they'll be followers of...
And then they became the followers of, yes. of Israel.
Yeah.
So that was the big symbolism. And there are more symbolisms of that scarlet thread.
Throughout the Bible?
Throughout the Bible.
Okay.
Because the whole Bible is basically a scarlet thread.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Very good job.
Sure.
I'm very impressed with you.
Sure. I'm glad somebody in this world is.
Oh. Well, I'm your older sister. Of course I'm very impressed and proud of you.
I can also count on mom as on being proud of you too.
You absolutely can. Oh.
So do we have anything else before we get into the Bible study portion of this?
I can say that there's not been a lot. Is that interesting? We've not had a lot going on.
We haven't.
I know. It's actually
been pretty quiet.
It has been quiet. Mind you, you know, we've got busy times ahead and sports and all of that. I was able to catch one of Jenna's basketball games. Jenna belongs to Matt and Kendra. I was able to catch one of her games. I was able to catch one of Ethan's games. Again, Matt and Kendra's son. So that was nice. But yeah, it's been... And then, of course, Daniel does swim. So I've been busy with that, but...
I still stand by the rule I made at the very beginning.
Don't go to any of it.
I don't want to play favoritism. So if I go to one, I got to go to all. So if I don't go to any, then...
Well, you could be like me. And this is how you do it. You go to the game. You embarrass them. They ask you never to come back. And then you don't have to worry about it. That's Mind you... True. It really hasn't happened yet. They all continue to ask me to come, but it's something that I, because mom made a comment that I can go to the baseball games with her because, you know, with dad not being there, she's going to need someone to travel with her to Ethan's ball games. And I'm like, how can I embarrass him enough or all of the family? So that way they say, can we just not tell her when the next game is?
I haven't tried that approach yet.
Oh, shoot. But again, you guys were fortunate enough to have, you know, stuff on TV. I mean, when you can't make it to an event, you know, you that can watch it on TV. That's something nice that, you know, that came out of COVID, I guess.
I would say that's probably one of the best things because, yeah, a lot of the schools have really upped their game and we can sit at home or sit in the barn and watch these sporting events without actually having to go to them.
Right.
Like this past
fall,
a few months ago,
yeah,
we watched two or three of the state football games.
Yeah, because you were watching Versailles, of course, because Daniel was on the team. You were watching Marion Local because Kendra was originally from that school, and the you know I'm sure Randy and Jackie were at a couple of those as well. Yeah. Plus, it's you know it's good football to watch.
Yeah.
You've got St. Henry. Where we've got our cousin's husband, who's the coach over there. So you can watch St. Henry. So we have a lot of connections to especially the MAC schools that, you know, you guys were able to watch their games as well. So
Well, you just mentioned that we're in the MAC. Well, now people who follow Ohio high school football are going to hate us.
Can you delete it out?
I could.
Are you going to?
Probably not.
Okay, whatever. Okay, yeah, we'll just roll with that. We are, though. We're in the MAC.
We're in the MAC.
Yeah, and it's good football. It is. It's good football. Yeah. And our school was able to play other teams this year outside of the MAC, so that was nice. And we were successful. So, yeah. Anyhow, moving away from that, I did also want to say, I know it's not in our topics of discussion, but, and I told you I would probably think of something. So Noah was in a wedding this weekend.
Oh, he is?
His best friend from college is getting married. He's also a part of the Air Force ROTC program. He asked Noah to be his best man. And he sent me a message this morning that not only does he get to give the best man speech, but he's also doing the prayer before the meal. So he's very excited about it. And I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that. And I know that he's learned a lot. You know, we won't be there. Hopefully somebody will record it. And then, well, Elle will be there. So maybe she'll get to record it and be able to share it with us.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
No, he probably didn't send it to you yet today.
No.
But he probably will ask for some advice. So once you get that message, you can send him in the way that, you know, that he should be guided towards. And I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
I'm sure.
He'll have people crying.
Maybe.
Well, I won't be there, so. Won't have me
crying.
Chances
are slimmer.
Right.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and get into the Bible study portion of this. I think we're just going to cover, you know, the Canaanites and the Moabites and kind of make this comparison. And I think there's a strong correlation to what Rahab and like where Rahab came from and where Ruth came from. And I think there's a strong correlation to society today.
Okay.
And the way we live, the way all of us live our everyday lives. So that's going to be our mission for today, is to get that point across.
That's going to be your mission today.
Sure.
I can't say it, let alone know what it is.
Say what?
Moabites and Canaanites and...
You just said it.
I know, but you should have heard me butcher it when I was with Noah last time. I know people get a good laugh that I don't say things correctly,
There's nothing wrong with that. You're saying I'm saying it correctly.
At least you sound good saying it. I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about.
I just say it fast, so then it doesn't really matter.
Good point. All right, so we are discussing who first?
We are going to discuss the Canaanites. So we're taking another quick little look at Rahab, which everybody hopefully listened to last week's episode. If not, I highly suggest listening to last week's episode first, because that gives the story of Rahab. But now we're going to discuss who Rahab was. She was a Canaanite prostitute from Jericho. But that leads to the question of who were the Canaanites? And why were they so hated and despised by the Israelites? I don't think I needed to cover what a prostitute is. I think everybody pretty much knows what a prostitute is.
I appreciate that.
So we're going to just... not go there, but we will go to Genesis.
All right.
And so we're going to go to Genesis 9, 18 through 27. So this is way back in the beginning.
Way back to Genesis 9, you said?
Genesis 9.
All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and read 9, 18 through 27. So it says, "The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so they would not see their father naked. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, 'Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers.' He also said, Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japheth's territory. May Japheth live in the tent of Shem, and may Canaan be the slave of Japheth. After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. Noah lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. All right, that's the last two little parts I wasn't supposed to read, but that's fine.
That's okay.
So, this is where Noah curses Canaan. There's a lot of stuff here, but the problem with it is a lot of it is speculation. And I've done a lot of research into these verses, and there's a lot of liberties taken with what this truly means. I mean, obviously you can just take it literally for what it says, mm-hmm. where Ham seen Noah passed out drunk, naked in his tent. So, I mean, even taking a step back to that, first of all, I'm going to make this public announcement right now. It's not a sin to drink.
No, it is not.
It is not a sin to drink. But it is a sin to get drunk. Well, you know, Noah made this vineyard, and I might be defending Noah a little bit here, but he planted this vineyard. He made this wine. Well, you got to sample your product.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was a little bit stronger than what he thought it was, and he drank it a little bit quicker than what he should have. And so if this is the first time he's trying this wine, okay, maybe it hit him harder than he thought it was going to. And so he got drunk and he ended up passing out in his tent naked. Why was he naked? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand why that's such a big thing.
I don't know either. But so he passed out drunk, naked in his tent. Well, it says that Ham somehow stumbled across him and seen that his father was naked. Okay, so then he goes out and tells his brothers, hey, dad's in there naked. And so the other two brothers walk in backwards and cover him up with a blanket so nobody else could see him naked. And then when
he wakes up, he
curses Canaan, Ham's son. He doesn't curse Ham for seeing him naked. He curses Canaan, Ham's son.
It really makes no sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense. And this is where I'm going to discuss some of these other ideas that are out there. I'm not saying I agree with any of these ideas, but I also think there's more than what's just on the surface. Okay. Because it makes no sense to me why Noah would wake up and curse Canaan, Ham's son, for something that Ham did. I would think he would curse Ham.
Right.
But he doesn't curse Ham. He curses Canaan.
But then he gives praise to his other two sons.
Yes.
Like, Ham's like completely out of all of this. After he comes out and he tells his brothers, hey, dad's in there naked and drunk. It's like he's completely taken out of the equation.
Yeah. Yeah. So he blesses his other two sons.
His other two sons, not their kids, in which I don't know if there are other kids at this point. I mean, they don't name them here. So you're looking at this going, okay, so he's giving praise to his two sons that covered him, I guess.
Yes.
But instead of cursing the one that didn't, yeah, he's cursing his son.
Yeah, and one of his many sons.
Right.
So, yeah, I said, I think there's more than what's on the surface. So some of these other correlations that are made is, like the one I'll cover first, if you actually look at the word used in the original writing. So if you look at, I think it's Hebrew writing.
Okay.
The word used in that original writing was, you know, here it says that Ham saw his father's nakedness. The actual word could also be explained as studied or looked in a more in-depth way at his nakedness. So basically he was sitting there staring at his father naked, like checking him out. I don't know if this is true, but...
Again, why does it matter?
Yeah. And it doesn't... I don't know. I don't know if it really matters. But something else that it mentions in the text is when Noah woke up, and some virgins say when he woke up and realized something was done to him. And then some versions say when he found out what was done to him, like when he woke up, he knew something was amiss.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew something happened, but it doesn't tell us what, because another theory out there is that Ham actually performed some sort of sexual act on his father.
Mm.
And so when Noah woke up, he was like, what happened here?
Yeah.
Who did this? But then there's also a correlation that when, in those days, when you would talk about seeing your father's nakedness, it would also apply to your mother.
Hmm.
So it could also mean that he's seen his mother's nakedness. And
which would be a good reason why the other two brothers walked in backwards.
Yeah.
To not see it, because then they wouldn't be seeing in the eyes back then of their mother.
Yes. And then also going along these same connections, that Ham performed a sexual act on his mother.
Mm.
And they even go as far as saying that's where Canaan came from, was the offspring of Ham and his mother.
Okay.
I don't really think that one holds much water, but it's out there. One of the more crazy ones that I remember is that Ham actually castrated his father.
Okay.
Which I don't really foresee that one being a possibility. So I'm pretty sure if somebody goes to castrate you, no matter how drunk or passed out you are, you're probably going to wake up.
And more than just your two brothers will know what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so I'm saying all this because there, if you actually do some more in-depth research into this, you're going to find these different stories out there.
Because it's vague.
It is vague. It is very vague. What we know is that, I mean, just going off with the text, Ham seeing his father naked, told his brothers, Noah wakes up, curses Canaan, but we don't really know much more than that.
Right.
And we probably never will.
The only thing that we get from it is that then the Canaanites are slaves.
Yes. But here's something else that I do find interesting, something that is just below the surface. God isn't the one that cursed Canaan or the Canaanites or anything along that. Now, the Canaanites do end up being cursed by God because of the way they lived their lives, because they lived very... you know, followed pagan gods and didn't follow God. And they were performing immorally in a lot of the things they did in their everyday lives. So they were eventually cursed and pretty much eliminated because of their sins. But it wasn't God that cursed them originally. It was Noah that cursed them. And God just kind of let it go. And in the end, the Canaanites cursed themselves by performing things immorally.
Gotcha.
So, but this is where the whole everybody hates the Canaanites begins. This is it. This is where something happened between Noah and Ham, and somehow through that, Canaan is cursed by Noah. And as the generations go on, this is never forgotten. And the Canaanites...
Do they have their own city then? Do they move away?
They had their own country.
They had their own country.
The country of Canaan.
Okay.
Which is the promised land that whenever Joshua, whenever we started the story of Rahab, Joshua and the Israelites moved across the Jordan and moved into Canaan. Jericho was the first city in Canaan that they came to, and they eventually went in and wiped out all the Canaanites and therefore all the other families of the Canaanites. And we'll get to it a little bit later. I'll try to highlight it once we get to it. But whenever Abraham goes in to that land initially, God tells him, this is all yours, as far as your eye can see. And he was in the center of, well, I don't know if he's in the center, but he was in Canaan at that time.
Okay.
And there were Canaanites and Perizzites and other people that were still occupying that land.
Mm-hmm.
And he was living among them. And eventually, I mean, I don't want to know how much of the story to give away, but, you know, you eventually have the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
And then Joseph is sold into slavery out of the 12 tribes of Israel, ends up going to Egypt, becomes second highest only to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Great drought. That's when Jacob. And all of his family and all of their descendants end up going down to Egypt where Joseph was. And that's where they lived. And then they would eventually become slaves in Egypt. And they were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And that's when Moses came and got them out of slavery. And now they were going back to take over that land they initially came from. But it's been 400 years. So yeah. Now you got all these other people in this land. And they have to go back in and take out all these other people to re-inherit that land again.
Mm.
So that was kind of a lot of the Bible in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's kind of how it all worked.
It's nice to have that, though, because then, you know, it's easier to read the stories.
Yeah.
And
if you can take a step back and see the big picture and see how everything kind of works together.
Yeah.
Because, sure, you can read about Abraham and all this, but then you read a lot of other stuff before you get to the whole Exodus and you kind of forget. So that's actually something I do and something I can recommend to a lot of other people is there's a lot of times where, you know, instead of listening to podcasts, which I think you should listen to podcasts because that's, hey, we're,
that's we have a we podcast. Are.
But I will, a lot of people have the Bible app on their phone as well.
Yeah, I do.
And just turn it on and let it read it to you.
Yeah.
So instead of listening to podcasts at work, I'll just turn it on and let the Bible be read to me. And whenever it reads it that quick, no breaks, everything's just being read to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can make connections because whenever you're reading it yourself, you may get distracted. You may go on a tangent. Like I live my life in tangents.
Yes, we've noticed.
but when you listen to it all in one big chunk, you make these correlations a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see everything a little bit better.
Yeah.
By taking that step back and seeing everything in a big picture. That's, I don't know if that really has anything to do with anything, but hopefully that will help somebody.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's nice to hear, though, that, you know, especially for me, to hear how it all kind of comes together. Because I do. I listen to the Bible app on my phone. But, you know, there's only so much I can listen to at a time. So to have an overlook of it, it's nice.
Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is we're going to continue on and go to Genesis 10, 15 through 18. And this is the families of Canaan. So whenever we talk about the Canaanites, it's not just Canaanites. There's more families to the Canaanites than just the Canaanites. So 15 through 18 says, Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. So all of those are, they're all Canaanites. They're all son of Canaan. So therefore they are all Canaanites. Now they all had their own family named after them, but they were all Canaanites. So another connection that I would just like to point out, it's something I found actually when we were doing our family Bible study many moons ago. And I'm going to go to Joshua 3. And I'm going to start in verse 10. So Joshua 3, verse 10. So I just read you all the families of Canaan. So this Joshua 3 verse 10, this is where the Israelites are crossing the Jordan River, getting ready to actually go into Canaan to start this whole cleansing process of this land. It says, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites." So that's all the families that are Canaanites.
Yes, they are.
And the only difference is the Perizzites. And I actually did this research. And the Perizzites, they're mentioned a few times in the Bible, mm-hmm. but there's no history of them. And basically the only thing I can find out about them is they were Canaanites. But that's about it.
Okay.
So they're still part of the Canaanite family. They're just not mentioned in this original genealogy in Genesis 10. But they're somewhere down the line, there's Perizzites that come around.
Okay.
And they are mentioned a few times, just not in great depth. So, but these are, the Canaanites are those, and all those other families I just read are the ones that the Israelites are going in to basically eliminate out of the country of Canaan to take it over again for themselves. Mm. So, why were the Canaanites hated? They were cursed by Noah,
yeah.
Back a long, 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 long time ago, they were cursed by Noah, and they had this...
And they lived a cursed life then.
Yes.
Because...
And then the way they chose to live their life didn't help anything.
Right.
So they were despised throughout history because of what Noah did and the way they lived their lives. Hmm. So now... Looking again at Rahab, she was
a Canaanite. Woman. Yeah.
But she wasn't just a Canaanite woman that was despised by everybody. She was a Canaanite prostitute,
mm-hmm.
which would be even lower than a regular Canaanite.
Mm-hmm. Double-edged sword, is that what they say?
Yeah. So that's the Canaanites. And that's where we're going to stop for today's episode. I've mentioned we are doing two episodes a week now, and we're trying to keep each one a little bit shorter. So, on our next episode, we are going to get into more of Ruth and who the Moabites were. And we'll be covering Genesis 11, Genesis 13, Genesis 14, 12, and Genesis 19. So, if you want to go ahead and read up on those, we'll be covering those on our next episode. And other than that, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just want to say hi, then you can email us at purefaithpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you like what you hear, then we ask that you share it with other people so that we can all work together in sharing the word of Jesus and the good news of Jesus Christ. Other than that, we will talk to you soon.
Have a great day, everyone.